Romans 7, initially, beginning at verse 14. So let me read this for us. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. What a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Jackie.
So if you stay on the same page for the second reading, which is from Romans 6, verses 1 to 11. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God, through Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
What a miserable person I am. Who will save me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Like any good Sunday school quiz, the answer is Jesus. Because of Jesus and only Jesus, we can move from a miserable life dominated by sin and death to being alive to God through Jesus Christ. Consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ, as we read in Romans 6, verse 11. And so in the book that we're using to help us think through Paul's letter to the Romans, Andrew Ollerton describes a time when a drug dealer was parked outside a gym with a gun in hand, waiting for his target to emerge. And as the gym door opened, he got out of the car, finger on the trigger. However, the target wasn't alone. Instead, he walked out of the gym with two young children either side of him. Suddenly, a piercing light blinded the drug dealer on the spot. He staggered back to his car, shaking with fear. And as he sat there, a phrase came to mind. The wages of sin is death. Remembering a forgotten Bible verse from his childhood, he returned the gun to the glove compartment. The other family went home, unaware that an act of God had just saved their lives. You might remember back in chapter 1, at the start of Paul's letter, that he says, "The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation. It was true then and it remains true today." The same light that blinded Paul on the road to Damascus still has the power to transform the lives of drug dealers in the 21st century, as well as you and me. The gospel of Jesus is able to transform people's lives in such a radical way that the best analogy that describes that change is death and resurrection. The drug dealer in question is now an ordained Church of England priest helping some of the most vulnerable people in Burnley. However, I'm sure all of us can think of people, perhaps it's ourselves, who, despite coming to faith in Jesus, struggle to change. If the gospel is so powerful then, why are some people still trapped in cycles of sin? In chapter 6, Paul continues to make the case that the gospel is powerful to effect change and to help us live in true freedom. Whilst in chapter 7, he names some of the frustration of being stuck in patterns or cycles of sin. If Romans 6 then is a celebration of freedom, Romans 7 is a shout of frustration. And today we hold in tension the possibility of change alongside the frustration of being stuck. Or as Paul says in chapter 7, "I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway." If you've been following this series since September, you'll know that Paul has so far led us down into the valley of sin, through the crux of salvation, and following the path of Abraham, brought us out to a beautiful vista of chapter 5, peace with God, as Malcolm spoke last week. Paul has showed us the reality of the human predicament. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he's also showed us the solution, that we are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And through Jesus, we see that, as Malcolm described last week, we throw open our doors to God and discover at that same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us. And we find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. We find ourselves wrapped in God's grace, God's free gift to us in Jesus. Through Jesus, we see that our salvation, our healing is completely secure. Nothing can separate us from God's love. It's not based on anything we can do, but only on what Jesus has done for us. At this point, then, we might be left thinking, well, if our salvation is sorted, regardless of our sin, does it really matter if we go on sinning? Paul begins chapter 6 by posing this very question. Should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace, he says. Well, as we'll shortly discover, the answer is a resounding no. As Ollerton says in his book, God's grace is not a license to sin, but rather the power to live free. God's grace is not a license to sin, but rather the power to live free. The answer is a resounding no, Paul says, because we have a new identity. We are now one with Jesus, united with Christ. In our baptism, we are given a new identity. We are baptized not just into Christ's resurrection, but into his death as well. Our baptism is not merely a symbol, but is best understood as a participation in the death and resurrection life of Jesus. We don't just believe in Jesus, we share in his story. And Paul here is drawing on the story of the Exodus, which you might remember tells the story of how Israel were enslaved in Egypt. God hears the cries of misery and of slavery, of oppression, and sends Moses ahead to bring them out and away to freedom in the promised land. They come through the Red Sea, through the waters, leaving behind slavery and discovering a new freedom. Right here in Romans 6, Paul tells a version of the very same story. Romans 6 describes how Christians come through the water of baptism, like the Red Sea, and so leave behind a land of slavery and enter into a new freedom, like leaving Egypt and setting off for the promised land. If you were here at the end of August when we baptised three people downstairs in the pool, you'll have seen that the candidates were fully immersed in water. Indeed, the Greek word baptizo means to plunge or to dunk. In adult baptism, candidates are fully immersed in the waters to signify their joining with Jesus in his death. And then seconds later, as they emerge from the water, they are joined with Jesus in his resurrection life. Baptism then is the sign of this new identity. We are now in Christ. There can be no going back. What happened to Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, is now true of us too. When Christ died for our sin, our old self died with him. When he was buried, we were buried. When he was resurrected, we were raised to new life. What Paul wants us to understand is that our identity has been fundamentally altered through our union with Christ. So what does that mean for us? Why is this so important for Paul? It's so important for Paul because he wants us to see and understand our new reality. Paul wants us to understand that our identity has been fundamentally altered through our union with Christ. We are no longer sinners enslaved to evil forces more powerful than ourselves. We belong to God. As Paul says in verse 7, when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. We may not feel like we're dead to sin at this very moment, but it remains true. It remains our reality. We aren't then straight away living in a state of sinless perfection, but have come under a change of ownership. The change of ownership should lead to a change in our thinking. Rather than thinking, now that I'm a Christian, I'd better stop sinning, we should instead have a mindset that says, now that I'm a Christian, I'm released from the power of sin. I can choose to live free of it. We are no longer what we were. We are not slaves to sin anymore. The grace that we receive and experience trains us in righteousness, as one commentator puts it. It doesn't give us license to keep sinning. As Tom Wright says, sin is a dethroned power. It remains present, but it no longer rules. Should we keep on sinning then so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? No, is our resounding answer. And so, are we living out of our new identity, or are we still answering to the old master? Jesus calls us to live in the light of the resurrection, right here and right now. Before I continue, we're just going to watch a short film of Jack's story taken from the Romans course we're drawing. All of us are on that daily journey of being formed into the likeness of Christ. So let's not leave this morning without laying down any burdens we're carrying, or allowing Jesus to take them away. We are called to live as free people, living out of the identity that Jesus gifts us through his grace. And so as we move into chapter 7, which can appear quite dense and complex, we see the frustration of someone under the law who wants to change but can't. Through chapter 7, Paul argues that the Jewish law, is powerless to change us. It's a little like a spirit level that can show us what's crooked, but it can't straighten anything out. Or perhaps like an X-ray that can show us a broken bone, but can't help to heal it. In the same way that he did in chapter 6, then, Paul shows us that as well as putting sin to death, Jesus has also ended our relationship with the Jewish law. You can see too how he's speaking to this diverse church in Rome, to both his Jewish and Gentile hearers. The law, Paul argues, reveals sin but can't free us from it. In chapter 7, Paul is describing the inattention of the human condition, even of the inattention of someone who's following Jesus. We're caught between two worlds. What Paul encourages us to do is to remind ourselves of all that we now have in Jesus and to let that inspire us for the new life we are called to live. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who Malcolm has referenced here before, used the metaphor of slavery in the American South to illustrate the importance of counting ourselves free. He said, "Take the case of African American slaves in the US. They were in a condition of slavery. Then the American Civil War came, and as a result of that war, slavery was abolished in the US. But what actually happened," he says, "all slaves, young and old, were given their freedom, but many of the older ones, after long years of servitude, found it difficult to understand their new status. They heard the announcement that slavery was abolished and that they were free, but hundreds of times following the announcement, many of them didn't realize it. And when they saw their old master coming near them, they began to quake and tremble." Lloyd-Jones continues, and this is my point. He writes, "You can still be a slave experientially, even when you are no longer a slave legally. Whatever you feel, whatever your experience may be, God tells us that if we are in Christ, we are no longer under the reign and rule of sin. That if I fall into sin as we do, it's simply because we do not realize who we are. If we fall into sin, it is simply because we do not realize who we are. As slaves, we were trapped in cycles and patterns of sin that we couldn't break free of. But now we have a new master. So if, as a Christian, we want to sin, it's still possible, but we don't have to. When we sin," Ollerton writes, "it's like turning up at our old place of work, but this time as a volunteer. We're serving our old boss again, even though we don't work there." Paul's saying, "Why would you? What good has sin ever done us? If we've been set free, why go back? What a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord." And so the answer is not a new rule. The answer is a rescuer. Next week, we reach chapter 8 of Romans, and Malcolm will lead us onto the summit of hope, the so-called summit of all the New Testament writings. In chapter 8, we read, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for God has done what the law could not do." God has done what the law could not do. As I finish this morning, then, we can know that whilst we still battle with sin, we are not alone and we are not defeated. Even in struggle, we have victory in Christ. Our identity is in Christ and in partnership with the Holy Spirit through God's extravagant gift of grace. We have hope because the God who raised Jesus from the dead is making all things new, including us. Let's be quiet.